It's not on Mike. It's not on you. It's God, the one. His son bore the stripes for our healing. Amen. And so we just want to claim that tonight and walk by faith. I want to start tonight talking about attributes, some of the attributes of God or characteristics of God. He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. Well, you know what that means? What's that mean? He's present everywhere. He's everywhere. He's look at Jeremiah chapter 23 and in verse 23 and 24. Listen, if you ever feel lonesome, if you ever feel alone or by yourself or maybe fearful, listen to what this is. Write this scripture down. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23 and 24. This is what he says about his presence, his omnipresence. I am a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off. Can anyone hide himself in a secret place? So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Listen. God is everywhere, all at the same time. I was in a conversation today talking about worshiping the Lord and talking about praying and lifting one another up, and an individual said to me, man, he said, I got so much going on, I'm sometimes such a mess that I don't think God has time for anybody else. And I said, well, I feel the same way, but he's got time for both of us. And then some. He's not overwhelmed whether I need his presence. He can be just as present with me as he can with you, and with you, and with you, and with you, and with everybody else, all at the same time. Why? Because he's omnipresent. God was about to pour out his wrath on his rebellious people, and we know that they had been worshiping false gods and doing all kinds of messed up stuff. Sound like anybody we know? Anybody ever had that in their life? So in the book of Jeremiah, he dealing with much the same things, and God was about to vent his holy anger on his sinful people, and when they finally understood his purpose, it would be too late to stop the whirlwind. So not only did the false prophets give the people a false hope, that's one of your fill-in blanks right there, by the way. Not only did the false, how many of you realize tonight that a false prophet can only give you false hope? If it's not God, if it's not the Lord, if it's not the Holy Spirit of God, they're promising you stuff they can't pay up. So not only did the false prophets give the people false hope, that's your first fill-in, but they also ministered, listen, under a false authority. Remember when Jesus was led out into the wilderness for 40 days by the devil himself? Do you remember all the promises that the devil was making to Jesus? Listen, if you do that, I'll give you all. It wasn't his to give away. Jesus already owned it all. It'd be like me going out to Tommy's and getting Susie's tractor and giving it to Matt.
Thank you.
Huh? That's what you said. She was probably standing close when you said it, so. But it wouldn't work. Touched a nerve over there in that corner of the building, I'll tell you that right now. Woo! But do you understand the point? Whether it's his tractor or her tractor, I don't have the official authority to go out and give it away. Now, I can go out and probably borrow it anytime I want. Hell, that dog won't hunt no more, I guess. You guys are making my preaching really difficult tonight. But see, these false prophets were given false hope because they were ministering under a false authority. That's why, church, I'm going to say this again, you need to have your Bible with you. Whether it's in your telephone or in your lap, you need to have the Word of God with you so that you can check what I'm saying and make sure that it's the truth. Because if I'm not speaking the truth, I'm a false prophet working under false authority and will lead people astray. We've got churches all across America right now that are going down the yellow brick road because it sounds so wonderful. It's just got to be true. You two settle down back there. See, God hadn't spoken to these prophets, these false prophets, yet they prophesied anyway. God hadn't called them, yet they ran with their own message. And if they were truly prophets from God, they would have lived godly lives and encouraged the people to turn from their wickedness. But instead, they taught, listen, now just let me just ask you this question right here. Let me just ask you this. Does this sound like anything at all that's going on in America today? Because instead, these false prophets taught a popular theology. That's a fill-in in your blanks there. It's a popular theology. P-O-P-U-L-A-R. T-H-E-O-L-O-G-Y. Theology. It's a popular theology. Listen, Jesus wasn't all that popular when he began to speak the truth about what was going on in the world. In fact, if you remember right, he called the religious leaders of the day a bunch of whitewashed sepulchers, filled with dead men's bones. Why? Because there was no life in them. Those messages, and the truth is, you heard me say last Sunday, Lord, I didn't necessarily want to say some of the things that he was having me say, but I had to say it anyway. You know why? Because it ain't about me. It's about his voice getting out. Whether it's a popular message or not, lives were changed at this altar. Maybe it stirred some people up. I pray to God that it did. We got to quit worrying about being popular. We got to quit worrying about, boy, I hope what I say doesn't offend anybody. Anybody ever watch Archie Bunker and Survive? Yeah. You know, we become so conscious of, nah, I just kind of want to hurt your feelings, Matthew. I was talking to somebody the other day about being involved in sports and whatnot. And, you know, you can sign up for any sport you want and you can sit on your hind end the whole season, never get on the field and ever play. And you're going to get a trophy whether you win or lose. You're going to get a trophy. Why? Because it's a participation trophy and everybody gets one, so nobody feels bad. Tommy, when we was in school, if we didn't participate, we not only wasn't on the team, we didn't get the trophy. Well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, Ralph.
Hey, when I was young, the parents would drop the kids off to the games and wouldn't even come to them. And now it's like a family event. The soccer games, the baseball games, everybody goes to them, and you're not a good parent unless you go and watch them.
Right, right. Well, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, I play because I enjoy it.
Right. I'd like for my family to come and watch me play. They never did, but I'd have liked it. It'd have been great. You know? Hey, but popular theology made it convenient for people to be religious and still live in sin. How many of you have heard this term? Well, they're just carnal Christians. I got news for you. There ain't no such thing as a carnal Christian. You're either carnal or you're Christian. I mean, that's not popular theology, but it's true. Jehovah wasn't a local deity like the pagan idols, but a transcendent God who reigns above all things and fills heaven and earth. He just said so. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? He's right there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. So whatever you are doing in your life, good, bad, or ugly, you're dragging the Holy Spirit of God right along through the muck and the mire with you. He wasn't a local deity like the pagan idols, nor was he blind like the other idols. He was unable to see the sins of the people. Jeremiah 23 and verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? There ain't no place that you can go and get away from God. You can't do it. Because they were listening to the prophecies of the false prophets, the people believed lies about God. And what we believe about God determines how we live. Well, God is such a loving God that he just loves everybody. Yeah, he does love everybody, but he don't tolerate everything everybody does. There's a difference. You mean God doesn't love the homosexuals? He absolutely loves them. He sent his son to die for them. But he's not going to allow them to stay in that lifestyle. Why? Because it's an abomination to God. Well, that doesn't fit into my theology. Well, it isn't about your theology. It's about his theology. We don't expect God's word to line up with us. We line up with God's word. And if we don't line up with God's word, we don't make heaven our home. I'm sorry if that hurts somebody's little feelings. It's the truth.
Diversion, inclusion, and equity die with that. And that's exactly what we're doing as a nation.
Right. Right, because we've tolerated everything. We've tolerated the gospel right out of our society. Yeah. So we got to remember, church, that Jesus Christ, the Lord God, his Holy Spirit, the presence of God is everywhere all the time. And we need to remember that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So not only is he omnipresent, but he's also omnipotent. What's omnipotence? He's all powerful. If he's all powerful, what has more power than God? Nothing and no one, no thing, no one has more power than God. Why? Because he is all powerful. Jeremiah 32 and 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. There is nothing too hard for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe he can kill cancer? I believe that. Do you believe he can heal blind eyes? I believe that. Do you believe he's still setting captives free? Based on the evidence that we saw on this altar Sunday morning, I believe he's still setting captives free. Because this altar was full of people recommitting their life to Jesus on Sunday morning. Because that's what God sent us here to do. Amen? Amen. To reach out. True prayer begins with worship. That's why we start our services off with worship, with praise. True prayer begins with worship and focuses on the greatness of the piano player.
He is great.
And the singers. No. It focuses on the greatness of God. If we're focusing on the piano player, the guitar player, the singers, we're at a concert, not in a worship service. We do appreciate them. Why? Because they're fulfilling the call that God has put in their life to lead God's people into His presence, and through praise and worship prepares the heart for the planting of the seed of the Word of God. Right? Yeah. Tell me that worship isn't powerful and important. No, you're gone. Bye-bye now. Just a little flick. You're gone. He don't even have to do that. He just have to go. It's true. True prayer begins with worship and focuses on the greatness of God. No matter what our problems are, listen, no matter what the problem is, and I should have underlined this one, Tam, but I didn't. No matter what the problem is, God is greater. God is greater. And the more we see His greatness, the less threatening our problem will become. So true prayer involves rehearsing what God has done for us in the past and remembering how He kept His promise and met the needs of His people. Jeremiah's prayer concluded with the prophet sharing his difficult situation and God turning it over to, or rather, situation with God, and then turning it over to God. God met the needs of His servant and He confirmed that his decisions were right. So the basic theme then, and I close with this, the basic theme of Jeremiah's prayer was this, and it's one of your fill-ins. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. And God reaffirmed that very truth to His servant in verse 27. He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Is there anything? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen? It's just us realizing it. You know why? Because we look through our flesh eyeballs. And we see the problem, we see what we're facing, and we're overwhelmed, we freak out. Instead of giving it to the Lord God and saying, "God, obviously this is too big for me, so I've just got to give it to You, and I'm just going to sit at Your feet, I'm going to lay back against You and breathe, and just let Your love just deal with this entire situation." Amen? Well, listen, be praying for Sunday. Be praying for Sunday, because God's been doing some great things. All those people that were here on Easter Sunday, the same God that was here that Sunday is going to be here next Sunday. I know it's hard to believe, but He is. And my prayer is that they would come back and experience God every week. Amen. Brother Thomas will be here on Monday, and so he'll probably be speaking on Wednesday. He's in Sutherland that one, so you're stuck with me again. Good deal. He'll be in Sutherland that Wednesday, and he'll be with us on Sunday. Morning and night and Wednesday and any other place I can stuff him in. If he's here during our men's breakfast, he'll be here. Yes, this Saturday is our men's breakfast, so no, he won't be here. No. Brother Thomas is a precious friend of this ministry from Nigeria. And you have to listen when he speaks because he's got a very deep English African accent. Once you get on to it, he'll just bless your heart. He is just a great friend, a great brother. He invited Tammy and I to go to Nigeria, and we went and spoke in his camp meeting. It was tremendous. So, anyhow, yes, sir. Okay, yeah. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. You might have to get up. Yes, yes, they are. They had a heck of a time. Yeah. They the first night they drove and they decided they was going to stop and get gas at a gas station, and the gas station didn't have any gas, and so they had to backtrack and go back and to get gas so that they could go. And it was not good. And the next day, Google Maps was sending them all over the place. It took them 14 hours to get to where. It's like, holy cow, you could drive the whole thing almost in that length of time. But anyhow, yeah. But they are there. She did text me this morning and let me know that they are there, and they're tired, and they are they miss us. They miss us, and we miss them. But I'm believing that God has great things in store for them. Amen. Anybody else? Father, I thank you for Randy tonight, and Lord, we know that you are a healing God, and so we just lift Randy to you right now. God, her neck and her back, Lord, everything that has given her problems, we just release that to you right now. We speak healing, health, and wholeness over her life, over her back, over her vertebrae. God, I pray that every vertebrae, every nerve, every disc, God, would line up with your Holy Spirit and be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you. And again, we lift Janice to you tonight. Lord, we pray healing in her heart. Lord, we lift Lita up to you again tonight. We curse cancer and we tell it to die. Lord Jesus, kill every cell of cancer in her body. Lord, let every cell of God just begin to bloom and blossom in her life, and let it literally just run every cancer cell out of town, just like that when the demons went into the pigs and went into the water and into the ocean and drowned. I pray every cancer cell comes out of her and dies in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, again tonight, we continue to lift up Billy. We pray, God, that you'd strengthen her. God, bring her back into this fellowship, Lord, again, and I thank you for it. Lord, watch over every family represented here tonight. Lord, we pray right now for Sunday morning that, God, folks would come into this place. Lord, I pray that this preacher would receive, Lord, your word for this congregation, your word for every person watching by way of the internet, your word, God, for every new person that comes into this place, God, that on Sunday, Lord, lives again would be transformed. And Father, I thank you for it. Again, Lord, we lift Judy up to you, and we pray over her lungs right now. And we speak to every little blood clot in her lungs, that they would dry up, that they would disintegrate, and that it would be filtered out through her liver and whatnot, God, and her kidneys, God, that she would be completely restored to health. And Father, I thank you for all these things right now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Women, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, Friday night, guys, men's meeting, Saturday, men's breakfast at 8 o'clock, church on Sunday. Amen. Start bugging your neighbors. Start bugging them. God bless you. Good night. God bless you on the internet.